His name was Tom, and Tom was a unique guy in and of himself. But we got to tell him stories one morning, and he said, I had the weirdest thing happen to me. And I think it was yesterday or whatever. He said that he woke up, and there was a hand on his face. And he thought that somebody had snuck into his room and that he was just being attacked. He said, so obviously, I fought back. He said, but as I continued to fight, he said, my left hand was swinging, my right hand wasn't moving, and I thought, this guy has got my hand and my arm pinned behind my back. So he says, I kept swinging, and I couldn't get anything accomplished. And he said, I began to scream, or at least I thought it was scream. He said, my roommate woke up and said, what in the world is wrong with you? And he said, get him off of me, because the roommate was confirming all of this. Come to find out, Tom had slept on his right side, and his arm had fallen asleep. As he rolled to his left side, his arm collapsed onto his face. So he felt this hand on his face, but he didn't realize it was his own arm. So he began to fight against this invisible assassin that he couldn't see. And as more he swung and the more he swung to his right, they couldn't find him. He knew he was behind him. You know the story. It was just hilarious to hear Tom tell this story. Well, we're going to look at the story of Jacob today and the wrestling match that he had over there in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. You know, to wrestle with an invisible assassin is bad enough, but to perceive it as an external threat when it's not an external threat is another thing. It's where your mind goes crazy with all of these different thoughts, and that's exactly what happened to him. But let me ask you something, and this may be a little early to introduce this thought, but do you wrestle with things that probably should have been taken care of and handled a long, long time ago? I mean, because we know what that wrestling match is all about, isn't it? And sometimes it's a lot more emotional than it is physical. You know, men have this way about life in that, you know, if we can just kick it, throw it, paint it, nail it, you know, hammer it or whatever, we feel like it's dealt with, you know, because there was this physical exertion. You know, most of you know that I had my knee operated on December the 28th, and my road to recovery was the elliptical bike, okay? I'm glad I know how to say elliptical now, because I was saying eucalyptic. You know, I had it confused with a tree or whatever. So anyway, I know, but you know, I'd be on that thing for 45 minutes and not even break a sweat. I said, I'm not even working out, for crying out loud. So I didn't feel like I was getting anything done. So there's something about that physical confrontation that feels like you've accomplished something. But let me get back to you. Are those battles in your mind, are they ones that just linger and they just keep reoccurring? Are there things that you think about that you're going, you know, if I could just take the magic wand and just wave it over this one instance and just get it over with, or erase it from my mind and never have to face it again? I got a couple of, I'd say there's about four. I was thinking the other night, there's about four things that just keep coming back to me. And I mean, I don't know whether to label them regret or just embarrassment or whatever. And then there's some things that I've done that are far worse than those things, but they just come back to haunt me. Now, here's the thing that you need to understand. There's a couple of things that God keeps bringing back to me, and the reason he keeps reminding me of this thing is because he doesn't want me to make that foolish mistake all over again. So I know without a doubt this is why God keeps reminding me of a couple of things, because he doesn't want me to be foolish and irresponsible in that area again. So it's a help. Not everything that comes to us is harmful. You've heard that saying, you know, it's a problem. No, it's an opportunity. Sometimes our problems simulate themselves so that we can go, I don't want to make the same mistake and learn from that, so I'll be a better person. I invite those all day long. But it's the things that I'm going, really, do we have to remember this? Can I just put that behind me and forget it? I wish we could. Well, Jacob knew what it was to wrestle with things that were, by his estimation, and probably when we look at his story, were unconquerable. Let me take you to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now this is one of those stories that we've told, and it probably was an old flannelgram at one time, you know, where you put the little picture of Jacob and all this other stuff, and he's wrestling him with the angel of the Lord, and he gets hit in the hip, and his hip is out of socket, and the rest of his life he walked with a limp as this visible sign of what's happening to Jacob, but he had this wrestling match in there. But his conflict really started much, much before that. But his life was nothing but conflict. The Bible says in Genesis 25 that he was born with a brother, twin brother, named Esau. Now, the Bible says that when Esau came out first, so he was the firstborn, that Jacob had a hold of his heel. That there was always a little struggle there between these two boys. We know all about that. And it didn't help when his brother was a man's man and he was a mama's boy. That's all there is to it. The Bible says that, you know. Matter of fact, let me read it to you. It said, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. He was a hunter. He was a man's man. He was a hairy dude. But then also it says, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You know, that I'm telling you, that's the way it was. That's all there is to it. I just wanted to kind of let you know what happened. But then later, Jacob, what did he do? He kind of tricked his brother Esau. His brother Esau comes in from this hunting trip, and he's starving to death. He's got the rights to the firstborn, you know, blessing, and he's got all of this food prepared, and he says, hey, you know, you want some soup? And the guy says, yeah. I said, man, what good is my birthright going to be if I'm dead? I'm starving to death here. So he gives him his birthright because of that. Of course, I know that Esau was foolish, but Jacob knew what he was doing. He had a good teacher. Mama's boy. I'm sure this didn't happen overnight, all right? But then his claim to fame was that he deceived his own Isaac, his own brother, father Isaac, to the fact that he thought that Jacob was Esau and blessed him. Remember that story? Well, matter of fact, let me just share that story with you. But I'm going to need a little help. I need an Isaac and I need a Rebecca. Can I have a volunteer? There you go. Kyla and Gary, thank you for volunteering. Come right on up, please. Join me on the platform, if you would. Now, for this, we need two twin boys. We need a Jacob. Is there a Jacob in the house? Do we have a Jacob? Is there a Jacob? There's a Jacob in the sound booth. Jacob, thank you for volunteering and coming to help us with this story. They had a twin brother. Now, they weren't identical twins, okay? Because one was real hairy, red-headed, and ugly. The other was very beautiful and smooth-skinned. That's Jacob. So we need an Esau that fits that description. Mark Cox, thank you so much. Thank you. We need an ugly, hairy guy. Okay, so come on up. All right. So, Kyla, if you'll just come right here. This will be for you because you're the deceptive, evil mother. Okay, so hold on that. Okay. And this will be you, Isaac, if you can just kind of whoop that on there real quick. Okay. Over there, boys. Over there. I'm directing traffic right now. Probably a little dangerous for me to say that to big, hairy, ugly Esau. Okay. Jacob? Esau? Thank you. Keep smiling. Keep smiling. There you go. It works. It works. Isaac, I need you right over here. Excuse me. Here's your throne, claim to fame, whatever it is. All right. Here we go. Oops. I'm about to tear up the platform. There you go. Isaac, this is your chair, bud, right there, okay? All right. Thanks, Rebecca. Just filling. Ready, guys? Here we go. Just like we scripted it, okay? Just like we rehearsed this, all right? Here we go. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak, wait a second, we need help with the eyes there. There you go, Isaac. You can help us there with the eye thing. I appreciate it. There you go. All right. All right. His eyes were so weak, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I'm reading scripture here. That he could no longer see. He called for Esau. Yeah, thank you. His older son. And he said, I am an old man. No, you're saying this. I am an old man. Now get your bow and arrow. Oh, you need a bow and arrow. Here we go. Bow and arrow. There you go. Careful, I sharpened though this morning, okay? No, we that's a little out of character, okay? Yeah. Esau did not kill the writer of the story, please. All right. Get your bow and arrow and hunt some wild game. Prepare me the kind of food I like and bring it to me that I might bless you before I die. Awesome. Now, Rebecca was eavesdropping and said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father talking to your brother Esau. Now, listen, bring me two goats so I can compare them. I can prepare them the way Isaac likes. Then take it to him so he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said, But Esau is a hairy, ugly man. It's all scripture. Let's go here. But I have smooth skin. Just ask Maybelline. And I'm sorry, I didn't read it. But what if Dad touches me, he said, I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother basically said, let me worry about that. Just do what I say and go with it. Okay. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared the food. Then she took the best clothes of Esau and put them on Jacob. She covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goat skins. We need some hand stuff here. There you go. And here's the food. There you go, Rebecca.
Still hungry.
Put his hairy hands on him. Now you know why I picked you. Then she handed the food to Jacob. He went to his father and said, my father.
My father.
Yes, my son, Isaac said.
Yes, my son.
Who is it? Jacob said, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Sit up and eat so you may give me your blessing. Isaac said, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, said Esau, looking like Jacob, Jacob looking like Esau. Yes! Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you. No. By the way, you have those on the wrong hand, but that's okay. We get the picture. We get the picture. I don't want you to ruin the story for biblical reference here. Okay, all right. Come near so I can touch you to know whether you really are Esau or not. Jacob went to Isaac. Isaac touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. But the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy. Are you really my son Esau? He said. Jacob said, I am. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought to him and he ate. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. Look it up. It's right there in the Word of God. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed with many cows. That was a liberal translation there. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, as he said, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those blessed you be blessed. And Isaac finished blessing Jacob, and his brother Esau came in from hunting, singing the Oklahoma State song. Boomer Sooner? Close enough. Close enough. Jacob, right? You look like Esau. Jacob, you're out of the picture here just for a second. All right, that's all right. The scripture didn't dismiss you, so there you go. No, I'm just reading scripture here. He too prepared some food for his father. Then he said, I need some food for your father. No. You got a different plate there, Chuck. Here we go. There you go. That's your different one. There you go. I think that's a glorified ashtray, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. He too prepared some food for his father. Then he said, hey, Pop, sit up and eat some of my game that you may give me your blessing. Boy, there's a lot of editorializing going on here. His father, Isaac, asked him, who are you? I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently. Yeah. I like the second version of violent. That first one was just a shiver. And he said, "Who is it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came in, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's word, he burst out in loud and bitter crying, threw himself on the floor, kicked his arms and hands, and cried bitterly, "Wah, wah, wah." Okay. "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't that just like Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing." Esau had a grudge against Jacob. He said to himself, "Soon my father will be dead. Then I will kill my brother Jacob," followed by an evil laugh. Close enough. When Rebekah was told what Esau said, she sent for Jacob and said, "Your brother is planning to kill you. And if you don't take a bath, I am going to kill you. So flee to my brother Laban." I don't know. She's got more scripture in her head than I do, but she can't even get it. She's not pulling out real good. Must be a bunch of old New Testament stuff. "Stay with him until your brother's fury subsides. When he is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did, I'll send for you. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Cool. And everyone clapped for our assistance and help here this morning. Amen. You're dismissed, Isaac. Help the old guy out of here. Sometimes you just got to work with what you got. I'm glad I got the microphone and you don't. So there is the story of Jacob and Esau, this incredible conflict. Now you know the story of how he got there with Rebekah, who is the model wife, and Isaac, who is the patriarch. There you go. All right. Hey, guys, go ahead and adjust the lights back up for us if you would. So after this, obviously you know the rest of the story. Jacob ends up running for his life, basically goes to another country. Rebekah has a relative called Laban, and he stays there. You know that while he was there that he saw, after only a month's time, he saw Rachel. He says, "You know, I'd like to have her as my wife." He asked, you know, Laban said, "Hey, you know, I'll work and we'll work this thing out and she could be my wife." He said, 7 years. He says, "Okay." After 7 years, he tricks him that night. The deceiver is deceived. And on the wedding night, because of a veil, he doesn't see who he's married. He marries Leah, the older daughter. He says, "Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, there's a custom around here, and we get rid of the older one first." So then he works another 7 years to get Rachel. That's 14 years. As a matter of fact, there is 20 years that goes by before this scene in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, happens. He went on his way home, and he knows that he's fixing to see Esau. Now, through this, God has continued to bless Jacob greatly. He's amassed goats. He's amassed all kinds of livestock, family. I mean, he's a big, big guy. He's got a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, right before he meets Esau, he's worried about this. So he sends his family and his cattle and the livestock and all his servants to somewhere else so that he will be by himself. He's worried that when he sees Esau, that Esau is going to make good on the promise that I am going to wipe you off the face of the earth because of what you did. 20 years ago, this is still lingering in his mind. Let me take you to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verses 24 through 31. The scripture says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And it's been really fun, and it's really been awesome to have these guys come up and us kind of comically look at this thing. But if you don't see yourself in this story right now, you're going to miss the whole point of it. It's like watching all of that reality TV or a great movie. You get to watch it, and you see what happens to other people's lives. And if you divorce yourself from the implications that God has for you, just like he had at Jacob, then you're just going to come to a service today, and the highlight of the service is going to be that Kyla and Gary and Esau and Jacob fulfilled this little story up here today. There's a lesson in here for you and I. Genesis 32nd chapter, Jacob finds himself wrestling with a lot. He is wrestling with the deception of the past, all the lies that he has told, all the mistakes that he has made, all the choices that he has chosen, and most of them were incorrect. He is dealing with broken relationships. He's dealing with 20 years of regret, and his future is still yet undetermined. He's sitting there on this very night wondering what his future will be. Will I even have a future? Will my life be extinguished? Because he knows that Esau didn't come by himself either. Esau brought an awful lot of people with him to help support his purpose, and that was to kill his brother. At least that's what Jacob thought. That's a long night to have to experience at anybody's level, isn't it? Some of you have had those nights, haven't you? When I mean sleep will not come. You're dealing with things that just will not leave you. You're dealing with things that are undone, they're unqualified, they're unfinished. You're leaving with things that have been a part of your past and you're wishing you could get rid of them, but there's no way. He has no home. He is more concerned about his family than anything else, and he's just hours away from meeting Esau. He's wrestling with all of this in his mind when another wrestling match happens, one in the physical sense. You know, it's really bad enough, and most of us have experienced this, when you're wrestling with something that is just eating you from the inside out, and then the physical stuff happens. You get nauseous. Maybe you can't keep your food down. I mean, you've gone for days because you just cannot eat. There's nothing that seems to be pleasing to you. And you're just, your guts are being eaten out from the inside out. And you're just feeling that way. That's what happens. But the story shifts to this life-changing encounter. This is not the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. Because he begins to wrestle, the Bible says, with the angel of the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't say when this happened. It just says that it happens. And it says that it lasted all night long. Now listen, I wish that we had the advantage and the privilege of doing it like Esau did and in doing it probably in less than a 24-hour period, or how you and I would measure night from 12, just a 12-hour period, but some of our nights have been going on for years, haven't they? Some of our nights have lasted forever, and we think we'll never see the dawn again. The sun will never shine in our lives again. This thing is never going to be lifted from me. This heaviness, this regret, this life that I am living, this secret that I have, this something that is just agonizingly eating me from the inside out, it will never go away. Well, let me tell you what God wants you to know about this story today. First of all, he wants you to know this. We think we're wrestling with ourselves. I'll tell you who we're wrestling with. We are actually wrestling with God. And so was Jacob in the physical sense. We are struggling with our past. We're struggling with our regret. We're struggling with these things that we know are a part of our past, choices and things that have happened. And listen, let me give you a break a little bit today. It's not all just the things that you have done. It's some of those are the things that have been done to you. Some of you, and I listen, I'm not here to take the scab and knock it off the wound today so you can bleed openly again. But there's some of you, if nothing else, in your mind, you have the scars of when you were a little child and somebody inappropriately touched you or mistreated you. Some of you have been violated verbally, physically, emotionally. Some of you have done things because you didn't know what else to do. You decided to get rid of that life instead of keep that life because you didn't know what to do with a pregnancy that you weren't planning. Some of you have done things immorally, sexually disgusting. Some of you have been places that you should have never gone. And even though that's a part of your past, it also is becoming a part of your future. It will never leave you. You have said things that you wish you could take back. You have been places you wish you had never gone. Like I said, I didn't come here to make you feel worse. I came here to tell you something, and that is that God says, listen, when you're going to wrestle with this thing, you can wrestle with it in your own strength, but you will never be able to overcome it because you can't do it. but I can. You know what we're wrestling God with? We're wrestling with God over control. You know what? Let me tell you something. The truth is that all of those things have already been dealt with on a place called the cross, and they've been covered by a thing called the blood of Jesus. And if you won't forgive yourself, please don't prohibit God from forgiving you. And if you can't stick your head high and go on with your life, then don't keep God from continually wanting to bless you just because you've decided I am no longer worthy, or you eliminate yourself from that circumstance. God says, I sent my only son to die for you, not just for your sin, but for everything in your life, for every circumstance you have. I came to his blood can be so complete to take care of you. You see, we think that he's our Savior because he covered our sins. Well, can I just tell you that when you look back and you trace that back, because he is the Savior, because he takes care of our sins, the power on that cross was even greater than just the sin, but every circumstance that we face in life. Because if it wasn't greater than just covering the blood, covering the sin in your life, then why would we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that his blood would heal you if it doesn't have power to heal you? If it doesn't have the power to heal relationships, if it doesn't have the power to forgive you of all the things that you've done in the past, if it doesn't have the power to give you the ability to forgive others for what they've done to you in the past. We are living in this prison, and it's not just four walls anymore. We wrestle with this every day, and we don't sleep at night. This wrestling match is involved because we want God to let us be in control. And he says, I will not give you that control, because the control that you've exercised at this point is to just berate yourself and to put yourself down and deny the freedom that God has given you and already purchased for you on the cross of Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. Let me read to you. Mike Curzon also says this. God lets us wrestle with him until we find we must let go of what we have previously held on to. He lets us wrestle with him until we realize we are really in a battle with ourselves, a battle we cannot win, but God can. Quit wrestling with yourself. Quit wrestling with God. He's there to help you, not to oppose you. The second thing is this. This battle may last all night. It may last for quite a while. It may be rough, but this is where we have to understand. Scripture says a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. It doesn't say he had night for eternity. There was a point that was coming when day was going to come, and this angel said, okay, enough. We're out of here. We're going to put this thing into a conclusion. We're going to put a period at the end of this sentence. We're going to say, it's done. And it's about time we got the same attitude. If you really want to be free from your past, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to commit to the long haul. I don't know how much longer it's going to take, because we go through cycles. We feel bad, and then we want to not feel bad, so we entertain ourselves. We find ourselves, we become workaholics. We work so hard that we don't think about the things that we should be doing as a family, or what we should be doing as an individual. We make up opportunities and things that seem to be important because we're just trying to cover up all of the things that we don't want to think about. And I know that that's true. And God says, I don't want you to be that way. I want you to be free from all this thing. There's a reason we call this a breakthrough. You know, you think about the little bird in this springtime, and all these birds are hatching all over the place. Listen, they were born to not be in that egg, but sooner or later, they got to fight their way out of that egg. That egg is not going to disappear by itself. And you've seen those little film strips, that bird busting through there, and it seems so weak and so incapable and so vulnerable. And yes, we are. Some of us would just like to stay in the shell because it's safer there. What I've done and how bad I feel about it is really an easier crutch to use than using the crutch of freedom that God is providing to us through Jesus Christ. And instead of breaking out of that and becoming what he wants us to be, we'd rather stay where we were, because sometimes we like that guilt. It makes us vulnerable, but it also makes us sympathetic. And we want people to pat us on the back. We want them to say, bless your heart. We want them to say, oh, you poor, pitiful soul. We've decided we would rather lean on that than God. And God says, listen, this thing's not going to last all night unless you decide to. Listen, real growth always involves two things, struggle and pain. Struggle and pain. If we're going to grow, if we're going to be bigger, if we're going to be better, that's what it's going to take. We need to see this thing through. The third thing is this. You have this wrestling match, you become victorious, you will be different. You will be different. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he, the angel, touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. We don't know how this fight began, but we know that its end was extraordinary. Jacob went in there, a healthy man. He comes out with this horrible limp because of being touched in the hip and has been thrown out of socket. In the rest of his life, he limped. People saw that something happened, and he was different the rest of his life. Now, your difference may not be physical, but it will be visible. It'll be obvious. And one of the coolest things that people have ever said to you is, you know what? You're so different. When they start talking about before and after Christ. It's the compliment when somebody says, oh, you know, you haven't changed. You know, Dave, the bland guy, runs you over here. This little while ago, we were meeting in the office. He goes, wow, you just look like you're, and I'm going, yeah, I don't know if I trust you in my pulpit if you're going to tell lies like that, babe. You know, but, you know, we say things like that, but the truth of the matter is that you can be different if you want to be. God will let you do that. Jacob leaves this battle a changed man forever. And it was noticeably different. Not just a little bump in your attitude, not just a little positive action. We're talking about different, where people who are closest to you can see it. They'll start looking at you and they'll go, you know what? You don't get angry like you used to do. You know, there's something of peace about you. There's this contentment. You know, you're more helpful. You're cheerful. You're beginning to communicate a lot more. You seem happier. You know, when you first start doing that, people think you're on drugs. You know that, don't you? I was at Troy State University. I had flip-flops on one day. I'm walking to class. I walked right out of my flip-flop, turned around to go get it, and there's a girl standing on my flip-flop. I said, I'm going to need that. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking. And she said, why are you always smiling? And I thought, well, here's my wonderful time to witness. You know, I said, I said, well, I said, the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and he makes me happy, and I guess that's why I'm smiling. I thought she was going to say, you're doing drugs, aren't you? I mean, that's what I thought. And she said, that is so cool, and just kept walking. And I go, that is cool, that somebody would notice that. You know, I was coming home from the 5K last night. Mark and his family was there. Peyton, what was your time again? 29. I beat him. That's all I want to tell you. I beat him. 56 versus Youth of America over here. All right. I'm sorry. Just had to get that out. So we had this 5K. I'm driving home, and I'm driving up 21st Street, and I see this girl. She's on the side of the road, and she's visibly just bent over, and she's got her head in her hands. And I thought, bless her heart. And then God said, turn around and ask her if she's okay. So I turned around and I said, God, it's kind of dark out here. I'm hot and sweaty. I'm a guy in one car. I'm going to drive out, put my emergency flashers on, roll the window down, and I thought, this is going to look a little weird. But I said, sweetheart, are you okay? And she's on the phone, and she is bawling. And I said, God, what do I do? And I said, are you sure you're going to be okay? She said, yeah. I said, you sure I can't help you? She said, no, I'll be all right. And I drove off. And I felt so bad. I prayed for her so much last night. I just prayed. I said, God, I don't know if I'm supposed to do more, whatever. You know, you go through those minds, those things in your mind, and you just think about that. And I just kept seeing this picture of this girl with her hands in her face in her hands and just sitting by the curb of this big open street just crying. And I just thought, God, I don't know what the story is, but it's not good. It can't be good. And I just prayed for her. You know what? That's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? And God says, you know what? The next time somebody sees you, what they want to do is they want to recognize how changed you are. Now, I can't do that on history with this young lady, but wouldn't it be cool if I bump into her and the ball had no idea it was her, but this girl is so happy that I'm going, she must be on drugs. I'm just going back to the world route. That's what God wants to do with all of us. The last thing is this. He said, you will get a new name. You will get a new name. There's a name and a reputation that was with him. He said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. The name Jacob meant deceiver. Supplanter is another word that we're used there. He was by name claimed as somebody who was going to be a deceiver. But the name Israel means prince with God. How cool is it when your name gets changed because of who you are, an encounter with God, and you become something totally different? And the change in a name always identifies a change in character. And that's exactly what happened to Jacob here. He had an encounter with God, and when you have an encounter with God, it'll make you have a long, hard look at yourself and who you are and what you're doing and where you want to go and what you want to be. And that's exactly where God wants us to put us. You can have a new name today. And it can represent respect. It can represent dignity. It will represent integrity. You can have character written all over it. And sometimes we have to take a little while to live out of that. Sometimes it takes a while to prove that we really mean what we say, that we want this new name. We want this new identity. We want to be this new person. People are going to measure you by what they knew, not by what they know. But sooner or later, if you rewrite your future, that will become your past, what they know you to be, what you become. And if that sounds confusing, just think on it for a second. But it's fabulous what God wants to do. Jacob was a deceiver, but after this, he was different, and he had a new name. He dealt honestly with people. He had integrity. He's in the book, and now we're glad to say that he was a part of those patriarchs of the Old Testament. A meeting with God will change you in character. You know what? A meeting with God will change everything. Everything. Well, listen, I don't know if I pushed your button today or not. I don't know if I hit on the right title or not. I don't know if I made you feel uncomfortable. Or maybe for the first time in a long time, you found that instead of having to just face what you've been wrestling with, that you know that there can be a victorious ending to this wrestling match that you've had. I don't know. But I do know one thing. The only common denominator that makes it all correct is Jesus Christ, is God the Father, who says, listen, quit defining yourself by what you've done and what you've been. Quit wrestling with all the things that you can't change, but instead look to the one who can change everything. You can't change your past, but you can change your future by asking a person named Jesus Christ to rewrite your future. We're headed on a course, and it's not pretty. And listen, it may be that nobody else knows, but the problem is you still wrestle with it because you know it. There are some things here that will always be secret. You will take it to the grave, but you will fight it the rest of your life unless you allow it to be literally placed in the hand of God and you give up and you say, okay, I give up. I've had enough of this. But hold on long enough to say, please bless me. Don't just say, God, I've had enough. I'm beat down by it. Okay, I admit it. What good is that? The admission is clear. It's crystal clear. What you want is to say, God, help me to redefine my future. And it's only God that can do that. I'm going to ask in the next few moments that if you're wrestling with something, there is not going to be any inquiries. There's not going to be anybody questioning you. But I'm going to ask that you would be brave enough and bold enough to make sure that your daybreak is right now. And that you come to this altar, and you whether you bow your knee or whether you stand erect and you look straight up into God, or whether you bow your head, that you say, God, I've been wrestling with this forever. It keeps coming back. It is destroying my marriage. It is making some indifference between me and my wife or me and my husband. There's a business partner that never doesn't know what's happened, and every day I just hate going to work. On and on and on the stories could go. But God says, listen, don't ever let your past be defined by you anymore. Let God rewrite your future. God has a brand new story. You've heard Jacob's today. What do you want yours to be? What do you want yours to be? Because God's got it. He's got it, and he wants to unveil it to you. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I pray the next few moments that we will be bold, we will be more than courageous, that we will find strength in you to come and say, God, please redefine that future. I am tired of holding on to the things that have defined me. They have confined me. They have held me back. They have caused me to live in regret. Instead, oh God, I come to you today asking you to give me the strength to be blessed by you today so that my future will be different, that I can have a new name that represents great, great opportunity instead of elimination. I pray today, oh God, that I could struggling with you over control, that I will give you all of my life. I pray these things for me and for our people today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. As you stand, those of you who need to respond to this challenge, I invite you to come to this place. It's called an altar. And let the Lord do that. Dave's going to come to the piano. And while he's making his way there, don't struggle anymore with that. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not real careful, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll tuck this under a general category of not that big a deal. Or you know what? I think this is something that I can handle on my own. And you're going to leave here, and that same thing is going to haunt you. It's going to come back again and again and again. And if you want freedom today, and that's a strong word, but it's the accurate word. If you want freedom, it's down here at the altar. Come and be a part of that right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, I ask your blessing on this congregation. There are people here, Lord God, it might as well be physical chains. It literally might as well be something that is tied to our ankles that is keeping us held back instead of being able to be free in who you are. I ask that that bondage will be broken right now. I pray that all of the things that Satan is telling us will just be floating as lies before him and us, and that we will hear the word of God and the word of God only. Let me ask you, man, is your name anger today? It can be peace. Is your name hate? It can be love. Is it pain? It can be comfort. Is it disobedience? Your new name could be happy to serve. If your name is deceiver, it can be Prince with God. Father, bless this time. Lord, now is a pivotal time. Pivotal time, oh God. I ask you to do this for us in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.